I am DK, and here with me is Sam.
Oh, I love Rent Osaka. If I can get a shirt that says that, I will wear that. Oh, so what about you?
This is a popular friend. We haven't scared you off by now. I promise the next episode we will not talk about.
What is an anime without fan service, right?
From weak and disrespected to insanely powerful.
The story pulls no punches, man.
He gets sent pretty much down to the pits of hell.
I actually based a character in my light novel off of her.
I can't wait to read the comic though.
I love action anime. That's all me right there.
Yeah, kind of a Filipino.
You're cut.
That sucks. There's like a bunch of isekais out there.
The adventure here is, it gets even bigger. The enemies are stronger.
And hey, everybody. Welcome back to Otaku and Friends. I am DK here with my co-host, Sam. And today we have some exciting things to share with our listeners. A new manga light novel platform where independent creators, manga artists, and light novel authors can sell their works and titles directly on Manga Pointer's platform. And readers can visit and easily purchase and start reading these works right away. You can enjoy these amazing stories and artwork by independent creators while supporting said independent creators. Also, as another surprise for all our listeners out there, we have a very special guest joining us.
That's right. We are thrilled to welcome Joshua Pydra, the author behind the amazing light novel series from Ash, AR Dragonfly, and the single shot in one that I'm currently reading right now, My Girlfriend Was Delivered by 2-Day Shipping. So, you know, many would know him as Joshua or JJ, but thanks for being here. We're excited to hear about your journey as a light novel author and what inspired you to get started. So, Josh, go ahead and take it away.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. First off, it's great to be here. Excited to do this. Hope to have a lot of fun on this. But yeah, starting off as a light novel author was something I never actually intended to do. So, I've been a writer for my whole life. I've done like short stories. I've done like poetry, song lyrics. I never really challenged myself to write a book, but I was always a fan of anime and manga. So I wanted to try and draw a manga. And while I can draw, it's not exactly like professional level, you know? So I decided, well, since I pretty much do writing, I love to write, let's try my hand at writing a book. So I came up with a story idea. I came up with the beginning, a middle, and end, and I just wrote it all out. And I never really intended to publish it, but you know, some of my friends checked it out. They read it and they're like, "Wow, this is really good. You should publish this." And they finally twisted my arm. I tried it, and now 31 books later, I kind of got addicted to publishing.
Wow,
that is awesome! So great. Well. thanks for sharing that. I mean, I mean we've talked before, and already you have done a lot. I mean, especially as an independent light novel author and everything, and your background and everything with writing, awesome. So with that said though, I know that our we also want to hear from my listeners as well about what their favorite light novels are, or their mangas as well. And then I guess Joshua, are you reading anything exciting right now? I mean, besides, you know, your writing and all the light novel stories you write, are you reading anything exciting?
As far as light novels, no, but I am reading about 50 different mangas right now.
Oh.
Yeah, like it's kind of part of, yeah, it's kind of part of like my other job aside from my day job. I do a lot of manga reviews, and yeah, I got a lot on my pile to review, but they're all great. I think the one I'm enjoying the most right now is a manga from Viz Media called Boys Abyss, and Inio Asano is like my favorite mangaka. So things like Downfall, Dead Demons Destruction, Goodnight Pun Pun, he's done those series. And this one, while it's not by Inio Asano, it has like the same vibes. And It's like that dark, gritty slice of life. It's not afraid to pull any punches and, you know, dig into like personal issues and stuff. And it's basically about a boy named Reiju who's just trying to escape his hometown. And he's tied down by taking care of his grandmother. He has like a prearranged job once he got out of high school because I guess his mother made a deal with a construction company and his best friend is the son of the owner. And he kind of like bullies him and he falls in love with like a pop star. And it's absolutely crazy the things that happens in there. And it's all taken from that dark slice of life lens. So if anything I'm really enjoying right now, it's that series.
Well, I'll have to check that out. Thank you, Joshua. So for our listeners, our subscribers, we also want to know, what are you reading? Anything exciting right now? Joshua, I mean, 50 manga, that's really impressive. Yes, please, with all our listeners, and please hit that subscribe button down below and let us know after the show what you're reading right now, what gets you excited, and I guess we'll carry on. So with that said, JJ, I get what inspired you to, you know, just start getting into this whole space writing? I mean, I know you already said that you're way into manga, anime, and everything, but what initially inspired you to start to say, you know, let me write this line now, let's get into let's start doing this? What's been some of your earlier influences?
Aside from a love from writing, my love for anime and manga, basically that form of storytelling, was what really drove me to it. And my very first series was called Final Hope. And I originally published it as a two-volume series, but as time went on, I decided that maybe I can convert that into a web novel and give readers a free option so they can find that on Royal Road. But that one was heavily inspired by my all-time favorite anime, which was Steins Gate. And that is essentially a very well written, you know, story about time travel and how time travel is presented. It's mixed in with comedy and drama. It's absolutely beautiful. And I knew from out of the gate with my first book, I was not going to do anything in the same level as Steins Gate, but I did want to do some sort of like slice of life time travel mystery type of series. And that really served as my biggest inspiration for basically getting into light novels. And then as I went on, I took inspirations from other things. And this is going to sound kind of nerdy, but I'm also a pro wrestling fan. And I did what was called e-fetting. So basically, sometimes you go online, you role play as some of the wrestlers that are out there, or sometimes you go into a different company or e-fed where you role play as an original character. And that's where I really got my start in building characters. I basically made up a whole bunch of different characters. And one of them was a character by the name of Amber Ryan, who was kind of like an otaku. I mean, backstage, she was very, very mute. She didn't like talking unless you really got her going on a subject that she loved, then she couldn't shut up. And then, of course, she was a wrestler on top of that. So I took that and I actually made that as the basis for AR Dragonfly. But obviously, Amber in that series was not a wrestler. She's just basically a gamer who also deals with social anxiety and trying to overcome that and basically get a life that she never had, you know, take control of that life and get friends and all the other fun stuff. But I took that kind of social anxiety thing to the extreme a little bit and gave her that as the goal to overcome. And I wrapped it around esports and whatnot. And the biggest goal of that series was the fact that I've seen other anime like gamers. I've seen Wotokai. I've seen other things that are wrapped up in like video game culture, but they never really made it about the games. I mean, sure, it's like romance and slice of life, but there was just like gaming thrown into it. And I'm like, I really want to read a series where it has the romance, but it is centered around video games, where video games is the main focus. And so I took inspiration from that. I also took inspiration from Sword Art Online, where people get trapped in a video game, but I did it a little bit different, where no one's trapped, but you actually get taken into the game world and actually see Amber play her matches out in a game that she plays called Blazors. And another thing about that is I also have a degree in game design, so I went to college for that. So I didn't really develop a game, but I actually created an initial design document for an actual video game just so I could write it as accurately as possible into this story. So AR Dragonfly, I think, was probably something I took a lot of inspiration from many different parts. And then From Ash is essentially just my story turned up to 11 and you know, wanting to become a published author, and that's what Ash's journey is. So a lot of inspiration is taken from myself, but her journey is a lot more successful than mine. So she's got it a lot better than I do. My girlfriend, as the last one, that was actually a short story in From Ash, because I kind of use that as a sandbox. So sometimes I do snippets of Ash's writing, and they are actually my ideas for different types of light novels. And sometimes I'll include a bonus chapter with a story at the end of the book, or sometimes I'll put a full chapter, or maybe like a 4,000 or 6,000 word, you know, chapter in there, which is basically her writing, or my writing, passing it off as her writing. And my girlfriend was a short story in chapter 4 when she was in the middle of a writing contest. And I decided to turn that into a full one-shot series, and actually ended up becoming a best-selling series yet. So
yeah, it's really good.
But yeah, it's like inspiration just comes from like all different directions, all different things for me. And it's like, if I see it, I can probably use it.
Okay. So thanks for that, JJ. I mean, especially with mentioning what anime got you going there, Steins Gate. Awesome anime, brings back memories. And then it was really great how also you mentioned about animes or stories that talk about gaming or the games, but then they don't really immerse you, or they don't really mention anything about it except for just in passing, and then it's something else totally different. So again, I think that's we're seeing, I guess, other writers or other manga that are getting more immersed into whatever game they're talking about in the story. But I like how you started talking about that, and I forget that, yeah, you're a game designer. And is there something you don't do? I mean, writing
doesn't all.
But I don't know. But,
well, I love that you mentioned it.
But with that said, though, is So Steins Gate, that was the one that prompted you to say, hey, let's go ahead and I can do this. And then from there on, was it just sort of, your creative juices just started flowing, and you're able to go from one story to the next? I mean, how did that work for you? Well, once you started writing, did it just come to you naturally after that?
I wouldn't say naturally. When I got to the end of Final Hope, it was just like, what can I do? And with Final Hope being only 2 volumes, it was a learning curve too, because, you know, the first volume ended up being like 330 pages. And when I looked up what a typical light novel is, it's like, oh, it's only supposed to be like 180 pages. And then when I looked in Microsoft Word, I'm like, oh, I'm at actually 190 pages. But I'd realize that's 190 pages of 8.5 by 11 paper, not 8.5 by 5.5, which is A5 size, which typical books are. So I'm like, whoops. So if you ever saw the physical versions of Final Hope, volume 1 is thick, volume 2 is not so thick, it's about half the size. So I learned from that, and it's like, okay, what am I going to do next? How can I go from here? And I just sat down and I thought about the things that, you know, were in my life and what I would like to write about, what would actually make a good story. And the one thing I want to do is I want to do a full length series. I don't want to do just 2 volumes. And that's when I thought about e-wrestling and Amber Ryan and that character and how it'd make a great, you know, story, especially since I just came off of watching those shows, which didn't give me what I was looking for. And that was actually kind of the catalyst, because it's like, why can't I just find a good story about gaming and just have the romance and the gaming be equal parts? And I'm like, wait a minute, I have a character that exactly fits that mold. And then I just started plotting it out. And the one thing I did differently was I didn't create the ending first. I'm like, let me just write it out and take it volume by volume and see where it goes. And once, you know, I feel as if the series can't go any further, or if I'm just like artificially extending it, let's just come up with the ending and then head towards that. And it worked out. It ended up being 12 volumes. So pretty cool to how it worked out like that. And that's also where I developed what I call the 7 chapter rule. One thing about me is I love the band Tool. I love Maynard James Keenan as an artist. And, most of the Tool songs that he writes are in the 7 time signature. He is a firm believer that 7 is a mythical number. And when, ever since I adopted 7 into my chapters, it basically worked out perfectly. I, every time I outline a book, it's always 7 chapters, and it's like maybe 8,000 to 11,000 words per chapter. So you get that full novel feeling. But every time I plan around that number 7, it just works out. So it was really cool to see that as a catalyst with that series too. But yeah, it's that kind of like set the pace for From Ash. There's obviously some, you know, differences, like My Girlfriend wasn't 7 chapters because it was originally, you know, written out to be smaller in case I want to do web novel, because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with it. But the main series I've done was always going to be 7 chapters, and it just works out. But yeah, back to the rambling, non-rambling question answer type of thing here. But yeah, as far as like what to do next, it's always at the end of a series, it's like, what is significant in my life? What can I draw inspiration from? And what can I actually envision that as a full series? And AR Dragonfly was it. Then when I thought about my journey as an author, you know, From Ash was it. After From Ash, I have no idea. That's the whole reason why I was doing the sandboxing From Ash. It's like, what short story that I write can become a full length novel? My Girlfriend was a one shot, but there's other ones that I wanted to do, like, I want to try my hand at Isekai, so I have one called Reincarnated as a Wolf Girl Assassin on the back burner. I want to do like a pure fantasy, nice, like a lit RPG, so I have one called The Souls of the Arcane that I could do. So I have all these different ideas that I could see fleshed out. It's just a matter of picking one at this point. But before, you know, this whole sandbox idea From Ash, it's kind of just like soul searching, like what works, what am I interested in, what would make a good series?
Wow, that sounds really exciting.
and that makes total sense. Great advice, though. Like with the number 7, everything, mm-hmm, that's given me also some inspiration and some food for thought here as I start and continue on with my light novel writing journey. Exactly. So I'm going to think about throwing a word limit or two on the light novel.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because
how many words is your volume 1, by the way?
About 167,000 words for volume 1.
That's a heavy novel, not a light novel.
Yeah, you're right. It's a heavy novel.
For a Game of Thrones novel.
It's a thick boy. About 418 pages, but yeah, it's funny you say that, JJ, because I'm probably going to end up following the same route as you, as having volume 2 just be maybe a little lighter and actually make it a light novel instead of a heavy novel, if you know what
volume
I mean.
Could have been like 2 novels.
I know, it could have been.
Well, I'm also guilty as well, because my manuscript right now, it's about 84,000 words, and I was purposely trying to go over 60,000 or stop short of 80, but... Oh well, but after you just said about, you know, 7 chapters and everything, I'm like, you know, that is some great advice to live by right there for anybody, our listeners. If you're thinking about writing a light novel, whatnot, love to hear your comments. Also, again, JJ here, he's written full series, especially From Ash. And one shot, Girlfriend, 2-day delivery, everything. So he's been through the gamut. But I guess moving on here with more about JJ here is there was something you wanted. I think they're talking about last time was the challenges that independent authors, English authors especially, are facing with OELN, original English light novel, language novels. I know there's a stigma behind that and everything. So you mentioned the stigma around OELN works. How do you think platforms like MangaPoint or other independent platforms that promote independent authors can help change that narrative?
I think it could change it in a big way. So a lot of the problems that we face, and you know, this is in addition to just being an independent author, when you have to either hire an editor or hire a marketer or do it all yourself and then go up in an uphill battle against other independent authors. And you're not only just sharing the same space as other original English light novel authors, you're also sharing the same space with just regular authors who write Western novels too. And like, how do you gain traction in all of that? And that in and of itself is just a monumental battle. It's a huge mountain to climb. And then on top of it, you're facing harsh criticisms from anime and manga fans because they just don't take your work seriously because they don't think it's from Japan. So they have that mindset. It's like, well, it's not official work. Why am I going to read this? It's just fan fiction. It's just some anime fan, you know, writing their own stories and trying to play out what an anime should be in their head. You know, that's kind of like the stigma that we face. But when I first started out with this 7 years ago, like no one would even give OELNs a chance. Like maybe someone would, and they would get lucky. But now as time has gone on, you start to see other things getting developed that are not from Japan. So you see like manhwa from Korea, you've seen, you know, series like Tower of God, Solo Leveling get all these, you know, anime adaptations, and it's not Japanese material. Then you see books like Saga of Tanya the Evil and No Game No Life, which were actually written by Brazilians, if I'm not mistaken, but obviously they live in Japan and speak Japanese, which kind of helped them, but you know, it originated outside of Japan. So, you know, you see all this, you know, success, and then you see, you know, companies like Viz Media who are now looking towards manga creators, independent manga creators to try for a Viz original series. You see companies like Kadokawa who are now interested in trying to look at Western web novels as the next form of adaptation. And you start to see a lot of these outside Japan sources get adapted. And when that happens, it's slowly becoming more and more acceptable to look at other forms of entertainment and say, okay, they are just as good as something that comes officially from Japan. Maybe we can finally give it a shot. And I think that is becoming a huge, huge bonus for OELN authors because now we have a chance to honestly just be taken seriously. You know, and I've read official Japanese light novels. I've read OELNs, and I can tell you, yeah, it's just going to be like you do in Japan. It's you're going to find some series that could have been better, and you can find some series that are actually great. And I found a lot of great series that I would say would rival anything that came from Japan. So it's all about, you know, overriding that mindset and giving OELN authors a chance to basically check out their work and then compare it, see if they like it. But honestly, it's going to be a little bit of time. It's just, you know, it's just starting right now. I mean, we see here in the United States more and more, you know, anime conventions becoming mainstream, anime is becoming more acceptable, and the more that hits the mainstream audiences, the more, you know, it's going to open up for platforms like Manga Pointer to grab, you know, those people and grab that audience and basically deliver them the content that they've been missing out on all these years.
That's well said. Couldn't have said it better myself. And absolutely. And you already mentioned it is the market itself, as you know, anime is becoming more mainstream. A lot more people outside of Japan are picking up on it, enjoying it, loving it. I think it's now only natural that things are moving more outside of Japan. And let's just say for our argument's sake that, okay, if the Japanese companies like Viz were still hell bent on like, no, we're still trying to keep it in Japan, why not? You're going to find other countries, other outlets that would pick it up anyway, and then it'll create their own movement. Part of my research has led to the rise of popularity of anime and manga in India. Booming economy, and talking to influencers and creators in India, and asking about you guys love anime, you know, things are just booming over there for that industry. Why are you saying India that is, you know, different than say in Japan? Like, are people creating their own content? He said, and I've been told by a couple influencers out there already that saying is that people are going crazy for that stuff right now. And that they had a company owned by Viz, come in and try to make a original anime geared towards the Indian audience. And so I'm like, oh, so they have like, do they have like Indian creators, writers? So no, what they did was they take a poll, a survey, and I'm like, how do you know this? Oh, because they hired us to help do that, to do the outreach. And then they wrote it, and guess what? It bombed. I'm like, really? You know what I would have done? I would have asked one of the creators out there, like, you know, Indian writers, somebody who's popular, say, hey, what do you guys like? Okay, let's go ahead and write it. They're like, and so that's what I'm getting at is it can only go so far with saying this is, you know, from Japan or like, original from, you know, Viz, whatnot, without people wanting to, I guess just like movies in general, like people want to see more of themselves on the screen or in these stories. So I'm thinking it's only going to be natural eventually, you know, and I'm thinking that, you know, Viz and Kadokawa, these guys are starting to catch on, is they're going to leave us behind if we don't jump ahead of this and say, you know
Exactly.
what? Let's go in and start giving these other guys a chance. And like you were saying, it's like these guys that watch anime, they can write it better. I'm like, well, it had to start somewhere.
Exactly, right? Just a fun fact I wanted to let you guys know, but like, you know, the anime record of Ragnarok, it's actually banned in India because of the depiction that they had of Lord Shiva in there. That's why they banned it.
Gotta be careful about some of those things
Yeah.
going international.
It's pretty crazy stuff, man. Oh,
No,
goodness.
but no, but yeah, great insight, great thank you, JJ, for that, because that was one thing before I started writing. I'm like, you know, he's going to take this seriously, not like I thought. If I write, oh, it's going to get picked up by a studio. No, but it's just more so being taken seriously as, you know, yeah, this could be something that could be held up against some of the decent, some decent writing to be helped against the industry itself. How
Yeah.
about you,
And
Sam?
yeah, so one thing that I've noticed is like, especially with that, you know, with the light novel industry and manga industry, Japan seems to just want to keep it to themselves. This like this it's they're kind of like, it's my thing. We just want to keep it to ourselves. We want to do our own thing, and you guys copying us, we don't like that. But I'm starting to see, you know, that, you know, they're starting to kind of open up their horizon a little bit. And they're starting to outsource, you know, different things like you mentioned before, JJ, like, you know, Tower of God, Solo Leveling, like those are not Japanese. Those are like web comics and like manhwa and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's good to see that it's starting to change, but it's gonna take some time for sure, especially for creators like ourselves.
Oh yeah,
And even the
it's going to
anime
take time.
studios. Yeah, even the anime studios are outsourcing it to other countries as well. So a lot of it really isn't even made in Japan anymore. So.
Yeah, exactly. So like having a platform like Manga Pointer, you know, it helps, I guess you would say, helps the creators. You know, it's amazing platform for indie authors and light novel creators, and really with this it gives us a voice. It gives us a platform to where we can sell our work and to have our name and our works out there. You know what I mean? So like it's a great platform, and I really like the listeners who are listening right now, you know, I really recommend you guys check out mangapointer.com. What Manga Pointer has to offer is it has easy sign up for creators, fair revenue splits, you know, indirect sales of work. And how Manga Pointer actually supports its creators is actively marketing their work and providing a platform for to reach readers worldwide. It really gives us a voice, and it's great. For sure.
Yes, so and like you mentioned, Sam, already, is that the Manga Pointer, the platform itself, is all about having independent authors, mangakas, uploading their works and selling it, and also believing in, you know, a fair revenue share as well. So it's none of these independent artists signing over their IP, their rights, are not all intact, and it's Manga Pointer in return is just taking a revenue share to help cover the cost of the platform with the marketing and everything, different than other platforms where a lot of artists will just upload their work, but that's it. You still have, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, we still want obviously the independent authors, artists, when they upload, they'll still have to market themselves, obviously, but having a platform that will go and not only market itself, but also the whole point of its marketing is to market the material of these independent authors to bring excitement and everybody to mangapointer.com to enjoy and read these stories that these mangakas and authors have worked so hard in writing and creating, and now up being able to directly upload within minutes to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, as an author, you know, JJ, like what excites you most about the platform like Manga Pointer? How do you think it helps bridge that gap between creators and readers?
Basically, I love the choice that you have. I know when I came aboard, I was presented different options, whether if I want to just use it as, you know, another digital outlet, or if I wanted to take part in, you know, some deeper programs, which helped with marketing, which helped with, you know, possible international distribution, translation services, editing services. And that's something that's not widely available to a lot of different independent authors. And like I said before, you either have to hire those services individually, or you basically have to get good and do it yourself. And I am by no means good at it, but I do it myself to the best of my ability. So when you have, you know, a platform that's willing to offer those in a package that's reasonably priced, that I think it's a great benefit to all these independent authors. It finally gives them an affordable avenue for them to get those tools and resources that they sorely need.
Well said.
Yeah, well put. And honestly, that's something I never, you know, that I mean, I think about, but then when you actually start writing your manuscript or writing your story, and when you finish, it's like, okay, it's finished. Then what? It's like, yeah, I know. Like,
that's the same editor for me.
I need an illustrator, you know, because I can't draw to save my life. You know, and it's just like, I'm more of a Google, like, okay, how to publish a book? You
know? Yeah. Yeah, just draw stick figures, Google. Yeah, I had that same struggle as well, especially when getting my first volume out. I got all the manuscript done. Okay, it's done. What next?
For sure. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that when you're an author, writing is the easy part. It's all the other stuff that comes after that. That's the struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that can add up quick. And then I'm like, nobody told me how to be a marketer or do anything sort of marketing, you know, after I get done writing. So I see the glamour of, you know, being able, you know, for those that can get picked up by an actual publisher, you know, publishing house, and they'll take care of it. But then again, you know, they also own the super majority of the rights there, and the royalties from that is very small. So I do like the thought of being able to control my IP or where the story's going.
Exactly.
It's a trade-off. But
yeah, that's what Manga Pointer does really well, DK. Like, you know, we're able to control our IP and write the story how we want to write it, you know?
So JJ, when you got started, you know, writing your light novels, the series and everything, what was the plan? Because I mean, I'm just starting out with writing my first one, and I'm still trying to think, like, I want to write it as a full series, you know, somebody that gave me, you know, I'm looking for any advice really. But what was the plan though, like when you started writing, and you know, with either the series and publishing, what did you have in mind when you got started?
Honestly, I didn't actually expect anything. I didn't really have a plan. Like I said, with Final Hope, I never intended to publish it, and it was just something that, you know, my friends twisted my arm on and said, you should probably do that. And it was an addiction after that, honestly, because, you know, having a physical book of something you've written in your hands felt just amazing. Yes. And when you share that with other people and they get to read it and they tell you that they loved what they wrote, or what you wrote rather, it's, you know, it's that dopamine trip, you know, and you just want to keep doing it. And that's what kind of pushed me forward. And honestly, a lot of writers actually get into this and they think, oh, I'm going to have a hit series. I'm just going to write an isekai, or I'm going to write a fantasy story. I'm going to write a lit RPG, and then I'm going to get picked up by a publisher, and I'm going to make millions of dollars. I can quit my day job, and I can live on an island somewhere. You know, that's what people think. And throw an anime and a manga adaptation in there, and you got the perfect mindset for an OLN author. But that's not reality. The reality is you really have to love to do this for yourself. And I see a lot of different writers basically write stories that cater to what fans are looking for, and they're not writing for themselves. It's like, you are the author, you are creating the world, you should write for yourself and what you want to see, and do it in a way where it's interesting, obviously, so people pick up and enjoy the story. But they make that mistake of thinking that if they pander to the right crowds and, you know, take every little bit of feedback and try and alter their story, it's never going to get out of first draft. And they're doing it because I think, hey, this is my ticket to an anime. It's not. So basically, if I were to give like any advice or like any sort of plan, it's plan to just not have any success. And when you do get success, you're going to surprise yourself. And you have to keep that mindset, because being an author, like I said, you're fighting an uphill battle. There's millions of other people out there who are writing books and publishing them, and you have to compete against them. You have to compete against other people who are writing the same genres as you, the same type of novels as you, and you also have to compete for a very jaded, you know, group of people who still don't believe that OELNs are serious material. Again, that's changing, but, you know, it's going to be a slow process. So you basically have to do this for the love of writing, the love of telling stories, and basically you have to write for yourself. Obviously, you want to share that with other people, so you have to plan for marketing, you have to plan for advertising, and you can do that for free with social media, or you can pump in money and take out ads and whatnot. But, you know, the plan is just to write and have fun with it. That was my plan. It's still my plan. Like I said, 31 books in, and every time I write a book, it's for me. It's because I enjoy it. I don't sit here and say, well, I wonder if my, you know, dedicated readers would like this plot point. It's like, no, this is the plot point I want to take the story in. This is the way I want to write it. That's how I do it. And I take the backlash, or I take the praise from doing such a thing. And I've taken both over the years. But you learn from it, you grow, and then you just become better at it. And then I think the biggest thing you should also have is confidence, because without that, if you're not willing to put yourself out there, if you're not confident in your work, people are not going to pay attention to it. And then you're just going to be doing this for absolutely nothing. So I'm thankful for, you know, people picking up my stories and reading them and getting not a large fan base, but a good enough fan base to where I feel like I'm sort of validated for what I do. Yeah, going into it, I didn't have a plan. And honestly, at 31 books, I still don't have a plan. But that's like the best advice I could give is plan to not have a plan, plan to just, you know, write for yourself and enjoy what you write. Basically, how you're going to find your own personal success in this. And if you get picked up, kudos, you did it.
That is some great advice there.
That's awesome.
Reminds me of something I was always taught growing up is, those without any expectations are never disappointed. But but same time, is you're right. You need to write for yourself so that you enjoy it. Because if you know, if you're not enjoying it, I think the readers can pick that up through the writing itself. So, and I know that was a big reason why I decided to take a stab at it, was, you know, my passion, my love for anime, manga, all this otaku stuff, and thinking like, oh yeah, I think I can write something decent. And that was, the journey was pretty fun, I have to say. Like you said, the JJ, like the writing is the easiest part. Writing was enjoyable, creating that story, and then at the end it's like, oh, I gotta finish putting all this together, and then that's the real work there. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, like for me, like in the previous episode that we discussed, DK, like it was quite the arduous journey for me, but when I started picking it back up again, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it because I'm able to tell the story, and I'm a sucker for a good story, right? So like for me, I just wanted to tell this story so bad. And for me to actually have it as like a physical light novel, heavy novel, you guys want to call that, it was very, very gratifying, you know what I mean? So it was a good feeling. And you know, I'm glad that we have somebody like you, JJ, and also DK on his adventure, and like, you know, you showing us how it went about. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and wow, 31 volumes in, 31
That's a
books in.
lot.
Yeah, that's
That's
little
that is a lot. Kudos to you though. That's awesome.
Oh, no,
Oh,
I can't
thanks.
wait to more see or more so the lit RPG. Couldn't go wrong either way. So all of it sounds exciting. Can't wait. Can't wait for the next adventure, JJ. So you'll have to keep us updated and everything. We'll love to hear more about it in the near future.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, guys, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And don't forget to visit us at www.mangapointer.com to discover more amazing works and support independent creators like JJ.
Yes, so now it's your turn. What are some of your favorite light novels or manga? And have you checked out any indie works recently? So love to hear from you. Let us know. Again, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Love to hear any of your comments, feedbacks, any questions for JJ. Any yeah, please feel free to leave questions or feedback for JJ. We'll love to hear it. I know JJ would, and of course, I'm sure he'll love to respond to all you guys as well.
Yeah, any questions you want to send me, fire them away and I'll do my best to answer them.
Perfect.
Sure.
So, well, again, thanks, JJ, for joining us on this episode of Otaku and Friends. We're really happy you came on, excited, and especially for talking about expressing excitement for the future of OELNs and also more of us authors, independent creators as well.
Yeah.
Whether we write light novels or just full-on full-size
Heavy,
novels.
heavy novels. I love that. I love that. Heavy novels.
Oh boy.
Oh man. Well, guys, so for the next episode, stay tuned. We'll be talking about some of the latest light novels and manga out there. Plus, share your thoughts on the content on Manga Pointer and amazing works by the independent creators, guys. Please stay tuned.
Can't wait, Tom, for next episode. Thank you for that. So before we end this episode, JJ, any final words, last thoughts, or anything you want to put out there?
Sure. If anyone's interested in checking me out, you can do so on my website, which is meteorapress.com. You can follow me on X, aka Twitter, at JJ Piedra OELN, or you can follow me on Blue Sky at meteorapress.com as well. And of course, if you want to check out My Girlfriend Was Delivered by 2 Day Shipping, just head over to mangapointer.com. It's right on there for $4.99.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for that. And also, I totally forgot to mention, going to give you a plug here. You also do a podcast as well, or a show, don't you, JJ?
Yeah, once a month, I've been with a site called theouterhaven.net for about 10 years now. And for 8 of those 10 years, myself, my friend Matt, and my friend Will, we do a podcast called the A-01 or A1 podcast. It's basically themed after an anime classroom, if you can't tell. But we talk about VTuber stuff, we talk about anime, manga, all the stuff that's happening in the industry. And we're actually getting set to record our next episode pretty soon. So if you're in the month of December, if this comes out in December, you know, check it out at the end of there. Or otherwise, once a month, usually towards the end of the month, we'll have an episode. So yeah, definitely check that out, called the A1 Podcast, Outer Haven dot or the Outer Haven dot net.
Thank you for that. And we'll be sure for all our listeners and subscribers to have links and everything on our page, as well as to Manga Pointer, to JJ's works, whether it be on Manga Pointer or sold elsewhere. So listeners, feel free to scroll down. You'll see all the links there, and you can check out JJ's podcast as well. So remember to follow us, and also go ahead and please follow JJ. His stories are amazing, so please go check out Girlfriend 2 Day Shipping, also his other series AR Dragonfly, and then also another fun one is from Ash. There's a lot of works there, and I enjoy reading them as well. So, by the way, so this is speak from experience of a reader and everything. Please go check it out. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thank you, JJ, again for coming on.
Thank you, JJ.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
Of course, anytime. So till next time, everybody, we will catch you on the other side. So stay otaku.
Peace.
Peace.